Chapter 9. Now that we knew for sure that Ryan was pregnant, we needed to make our next move. We'd set our sights on the next city, and we were prepared to leave Edenheart for good. The first course of action was to transform all of the remaining 7 aristocrats captured, trying to re-enter into the city. I asked Askara to bring all of them down into the laboratory, and the private obliged happily with the help of a few of my other soldiers. I glanced over their unconscious bodies and memorized their faces for a long moment. The last few were younger women, and their faces glowed with youth. I didn't recognize them. They could have easily been nothing more than a face in the crowd, but minutes from now, they'd join my Drake Legion and become my future wives. All of them were so beautiful as they laid strewn across the laboratory floor. Their eyes were lightly shut, and their breathing came in and out evenly. If I hadn't known that they'd been drugged, I would have thought all of them were sleeping soundly and dreaming of beautiful, sweet things. When they entered back into the city, they hadn't suspected a thing. Maybe they had. Perhaps they hadn't received letters from friends or work orders from the businesses they owned, but we'd captured them nevertheless. I wondered what types of lives they lived before I caught them and brought them back to the manor. I told myself that none of these things mattered now and brushed all of those thoughts away from me. These were the last few of Edenheart citizens, and then the entire city would be empty. Years from now, it'd be repopulated with monster women and my children. But for now, it would stand deserted until I took my rightful place as king. The women in front of me would soon become part of the Drake Legion, and Josephine would train them to become absolute terrors. I knew that the Drake woman was nervous about taking on such a massive task, but I did not doubt that she could do it. The honey blonde may have seemed meek and timid, but I knew there was a rage deep inside her, hidden underneath the surface, just waiting to be released. I glanced over my shoulder and watched as the honey blonde scrubbed the floor of Compartment B. When I looked into her orange cat-like eyes, I saw a hunger for vengeance. The heiress had stood by her entire life and watched as the men she defended in private were beaten and broken down by the people who called themselves her friends. She wanted revenge. I sensed it within her, and all I had to do was pop the cork within her and unleash it out onto the world. I felt it in my other women, too, a need to rebuke and destroy every aristocrat that stepped into their path. All of my women except Josephine had been on the other end of the spectrum, and they understood the type of hate that the nobles held in their hearts. I wanted to unlock their animalistic sides and unleash them on the world that had scorned them and me for so long. We were on the verge of it, and I could see the fight in them build and build the closer we came to it.
"So, how are we doing this?"
Valerie asked, placed her hands on her hips, and turned toward me.
"One by one?"
"Couldn't we just stuff them all in at once?"
Ryan asked.
"I mean, we did it with the twins, and it seemed to work pretty well. I'm sure if we did it again, it'd work."
"But what if they came out all mangled?"
Cleia gasped.
"One giant monster women hybrid? Oh, how ghastly. But could be pretty interesting to have on our side."
Daisy, Valerie, and Ryan blinked rapidly and whipped their heads in the Nyx woman's direction.
"You are turning out to be very strange,"
the imp woman cackled.
"Not that we don't mind, but a giant monster woman hybrid? That'd be absolutely terrifying."
"But imagine it. You're a soldier out on the field, preparing to battle your enemy, and suddenly the ground underneath your feet quakes and trembles. Then this massive monster beast with too many limbs and heads comes crashing through your ranks and rips you in half. You can't even process what's happened because you're already dead. Isn't that great?"
"I think that's a wonderful idea," I chuckled. "But that would have been better suited for the old Edeny. I don't think my machine can create something like that. If we put all of the aristocrats into the machine, they'd come out as singular women, not as a giant mashup of limbs."
"Oh, fooey. Maybe in the future we could build a machine like that. We could even make super soldiers as Edeny wanted in the beginning. I would love to have super soldiers,"
the Duchess commented.
"But I've given up on that dream. Using unwilling men in experiments is cruel, and I would never subject them to that again. Maybe if we could streamline the machine and make it possible without any hiccups. But I've never seen the damage the machine can do to a man's body. Charles told me what happened to them, and it sounds horrific. I don't want to subject another male to that ever again, unless we can make sure that it'll never happen again.
I'd have to tweak it, I uttered, and grabbed one of the elemental core shards. A lot. You wanted something like mindless drones who would obey every command, and I don't think I could do that ever again. Each patient that went into my machine died a grisly death. I don't think I could subject them or myself to that. I never experienced their pain, but when I pulled their corpses out of the machine, I understood that it was something that I could never fathom.
We will never do it again. No man will ever suffer by these hands again. I will make sure of it. If we could improve the machine and keep the men as they are, I would be willing to budge in my opinion. But if we can't, I won't have any part of it. You're right.
Cleia nodded.
I'm sorry. I thought it would be interesting if it was something that we could do.
There's no need to be sorry, my love. I would love to have super soldiers out on the battlefield with us, but I won't create mindless soldiers just for the sake of doing it. Going back to the experiment, let's put all of them in. I believe if we do that, all of them will be bonded together even more tightly than normal. These are our Drake Legion, and I want all of them to work together seamlessly when we battle the aristocrats.
Understood.
Daisy grinned and grabbed one of the aristocrats off the floor effortlessly.
I'll start loading them in.
Hey, Charles, a low voice whispered directly into my brain. What is it, A.B.? I asked. Why do you sound so melancholy, Bud?
Oh, well, I wouldn't call it melancholy, the brain laughed. I have something I wanted to ask since we were on the topic of super soldiers.
What is it? I probed and grabbed the small container of my blood off the counter.
Well, I know we totally ruled out creating them, my assistant gurgled, but I was thinking you could maybe, possibly, somehow make me a body, or put me in a body. Is that possible? I know I've been your loyal assistant for a long time now, but I kind of feel like I'm useless to you. I can't go around and help you on your missions, and I yearn to fight alongside you. I mean, I can't exactly roll out onto the battlefield in the state that I'm in. The soldiers would take one look at me and then laugh. Oh, why did someone bring a pink ball out onto the battlefield? Then they'd probably play a bit of kickball with me until I barreled off into the distance. A few days later, you'd find me stuck in the bushes with leaves stuck to my beautiful, bumpy surface. Could we try to figure out a way to do that? I know I've asked a lot of you since you brought me back to the manor, but this is something I really want. I want to stand shoulder to shoulder with my brother and fight for the things we believe in.
This wasn't the normal AB that I knew. My laboratory assistant was generally needy, demanding, and pretty feisty when pressed, but this wasn't like him. This wasn't a request for liquid-filled tubing or an orb he could roll around in. This was a heartfelt request from someone who wanted to help and aid in our oncoming battles. I wasn't sure if it was even possible, putting a reanimated brain into a dead body, or even creating a new body, but I didn't think I could turn him down. I'd created my monster women, hadn't I? Why couldn't I build a body for my most loyal friend? Even if I couldn't take body parts and sew them together, I had one other solution. I could use alchemy or learn some of the darker arts to make him a form to hold consciousness. I started cooking up potions and spells that I knew by heart that could possibly work. A.B., I started and then paused. I can't make any promises, but I'll try. If this is something that you really want to do, I will work hard to find a solution for you. I can't say when it'll happen, but I will try to do this for you, I promise.
Oh, thank you, Charles, A.B. whispered. I know I've asked a lot from you in the past, but well, this time, I mean it. If you give me one thing in this world, please let it be a body, so I can aid you in your journey to seek justice for the male population.
Wait, I interjected. Earlier, you said you remembered something from your past. What was it? You said something about your previous owner.
Ah, yes, that. I remembered something, not a lot, though. A woman owned me. I think she was a scientist, but she wasn't like you, Charles. She had consorts, but they weren't used for what they normally were. The only memory I have currently is I was strapped to a chair by my arms and legs, and the room was completely dark except for a single light over my head. Everything was shrouded in darkness, and then she appeared. I called out to her for help. I was in pain, but I don't remember what type of injury I had. The pain radiated throughout my entire body, and it was such a strange sensation. I'm a brain, Charles. I don't understand pain in this form. Not only that, but I've forgotten what it was like to have limbs. But all of them were tied down, and I couldn't move them. How eerie to have the things you want, but you can't do anything with them.
What happened next?
Daisy asked as she lugged yet another noble into the compartment.
Can you remember?
A woman appeared out of the darkness, the brain recalled. I hate to say this, but my heart swelled when I looked at her. She was so beautiful, with long, flowing red hair and brilliant emerald eyes. She wore a white lab coat, exactly like the ones over there hanging on the wall. When I looked at her, my heart pounded and sweat dripped down my phantom neck. It seemed we had an extreme and complicated relationship. I loved her with such intense emotions, but I hated her just as passionately. She told me she was sorry, but what she had to do next was in the name of science.
For science? I grunted, and my hands instinctively formed into tight fists. What did she do to you, A.B.?
I don't remember. She disappeared over my shoulder, and in a pain so intense blasted through my head like white lightning. There were flashing lights and drifting colors, and the next thing I knew, I wasn't in my body but floating below her. Her face was distorted, but I could see she was smiling. It was then that I realized I wasn't in my body anymore. I don't know how or why she did it, but here I am, a floating brain in a jar.
Why would she do such a thing?
Josephine gasped.
What reasoning did she have?
It's the same for all of the aristocrats, I growled. They don't need a reason, they just do it. There was a scientific discovery she could have made from removing his brain. She did it simply because she could.
There was one other thing, A.B. added. I wasn't the only one, but I believe I was the only one that survived the initial operation. After she finished, she put me on a shelf all by myself, but along the walls of the room, there were other jars. They had other brains in them, but I could tell there was something wrong with them. I tried to call out to them, but they wouldn't answer. I think they were all her failed experiments.
I hate the aristocrats,
Daisy growled.
All they do is kill and maim those around them. I can't wait to go out onto the battlefield and rip them apart with my bare hands.
The brunette's rage and anger were closer to the surface than Josephine's, and it didn't take much for it to rear its ugly head. We would use that in our coming battles, but I had to stop that train of thought. I need you to remember that when we reach the next few cities, I stated. We can't kill the aristocrats there. We'll do to them what we did to the nobles of Edenheart. They are our future soldiers, but remember, after the transformation, they're your sisters, too.
Is that why you want a body, A.B.?
Cleia asked.
To take revenge because of what was done to you?
In a way, yes, the brain replied easily. But I was here with Charles before any of you came along. I witnessed everything that Edeny and the other aristocrats put him through. Knowing what happened to me, I need to fight. Not only for myself, but for Charles and for all the men in the world. We deserve justice after hundreds of years of injustice.
Well said, A.B., I nodded. Now, are all of the aristocrats in the machine?
Yes.
The bear girl smiled and brushed off her hands.
Now all we need is the core and your blood.
Good, I nodded as I held both of those items in my hand. Let's begin. I crossed the room in four strides, placed the broken shard of the core into Compartment A, and then ripped open the door to Compartment C. I hastily uncorked the container in my hand, and then tipped my blood out over the corrugated metal flooring. I watched as the scarlet liquid pooled at the glass's lip, and then dripped off in thick, fat little droplets. I counted down from five as they plinked against the floor pleasantly, before pulling back and recorking the bottle. I rested the small container on one of the side tables and then crossed the room toward the panel of bulbs and lights. I rested my hand against the cold metal of the lever and then glanced out toward the rest of my women. Their faces were tense, and I marveled at how different this scene was from all the other times I performed the transformation. When I created Valerie, it was nothing more than a happy accident, and when I'd set out on my mission to make more monster women, I didn't know what I had in mind. Was it because I was lonely? I knew for sure that it hadn't been to destroy the matriarchy and take over the capital, but here we were, on the verge of doing those two things. None of this had been my intention, but somehow, fate had decided that I would be the one to change the world. I threw the lever down into its cradle, and electricity hummed excitedly behind me. I felt it pass through the illuminating bulbs and crackling components above my head. A surge of power moved past me, ripped through the black, snaking cables across the laboratory floor, and finally reached my glorious machine. As soon as the electricity reached it, the pistons at the top began pumping, and white steam poured out of the valves. The beautiful outer copper shell seemed to glow and thrum to life before me, and bright, blinding white light poured out of all three compartments. It wasn't as intense as Edeny or Josephine's transformations, but it seemed magnified by the elemental core piece. The white light changed and deepened to a wine red, shrouding the entire room in a haze. Like all of the other times before, a sound rose up from within my hulking beast of a machine, and it sounded so much like a song, almost as if a chorus of heavenly voices beckoned the aristocrats into their new and better lives as monster women. The sound reached a peak and heightened to such a point that I felt the need to clap my hands over my ears and squeeze my eyes shut. My women didn't need instruction, since we'd done this so many times before, and they quickly closed their eyes from the painful light. We waited until the sound finally died down, and when I finally opened my eyes, orange and yellow smoke swirled inside the compartment. My women waited with bated breaths and observed me as I stepped toward the third compartment. Voices reached my ears from inside, and I reached out my right hand toward the handle. I clasped it tightly and then opened it as the colorful smoke poured out. Since there were so many of them, I immediately saw the first Drake woman as she stepped forward. Seconds later, her sisters moved in after her, and their eyes fell on me.
Charles,
the woman in the middle sighed.
It's you. It's finally you.
Yes, I chuckled. Why don't you come out and meet your sisters? I slowly backed out of the compartment, and the seven monster women followed after. It was strange to look at all of them because it seemed that I'd captured a group of septuplets. All of them looked as if they could be closely related with very few differentiating features. All of them had dark hair that looked black in the light, but as they moved and the locks shifted, I realized it had a strange pearl shift to it and changed through shades of forest green, royal purple, and dark blue. The only difference between each of them was their varying draconic features. All of them had tails that resembled Josephine's, but each woman's horns were different from her sister's. Even their skin were different shades. Some of them had red-tinted skin like Ryan, while others kept their naturally milky shade. Their wide, almond-shaped eyes were bright yellow with a single slit down the middle for a pupil. They were terrifying, but unbelievably beautiful and sexy, with their curvaceous hips, perfect breasts, and slim waists.
Look at them,
Valerie breathed.
Look at how beautiful they are. Oh, my goodness. This,
Josephine whispered.
This is amazing.
The honey blonde stepped forward with her arms open wide, and I pressed my hand into the small of her back as I brought her forward. The Drake women looked at Josephine curiously for a moment, and their yellow eyes immediately went to the heiress. Their connection was instant, and I felt it sizzle through the air like static. These brand-new Drake women may have been mine, but they were Josephine's minions, in a sense. The seven of them held the same power as the honey blonde. I didn't know how I knew that, but I sensed it. It was like the seven Drake women were her daughters, and Josephine was the hive mind that brought all of them together. The honey blonde stared at the seven women for a long time, and for a second I didn't understand what was happening, until it suddenly clicked. By science! They're communicating.
What do you mean?
Daisy asked.
Like the twins? I think I understand,
Edeny whispered and stepped forward.
It's not like the twins, but like the Raiju and me. They're bonded together because of their powers and the beast they came from. Charles, You knew it before we even started the experiment. You put Josephine in charge of them for a reason.
Yes, I didn't think this would happen, but I did assume that they'd have a connection that none of the other monster women have.
Oh, can we pick out names for them?
The Nyx woman sang.
That's the best part of the transformation process. I love giving them names.
Josephine? I asked, and the honey blonde turned back toward me with sparkles in her orange eyes.
What is it, Charles? I'm sorry, I'm just a bit shocked right now.
Should we name the women of the Drake Legion? I smiled. Would that be all right with them?
Yes, Charles.
The first Drake woman purred and tilted her head at me.
We'd love that.
Ah, this is the best part!
Valerie squealed.
Charles named almost all of us. Edony and Josephine kept their names, but Charles had a hand in naming all of us.
We would also like Josephine to help.
Another one of the Drake women piped up and grinned.
Since she is the leader of the Drake Legion.
Whoa!
The feline woman breathed.
What did you say to them, Josie? That I was the leader of the Drake Legion, and that we'll fight together as a unit to defeat all the aristocrats that stand in our way.
She also said that we'd get to love and pleasure Charles Rayburn.
The last Drake woman purred.
When can we start doing that? I'm eager to be filled with his fertile seed and produce strong and healthy offspring for him. I like her.
Ryan boomed and patted her tiny pregnant belly.
I like all of them. Fill them with your seed immediately, Charles. I demand to have more children from all of the monster women you've created. Back to the names.
The front Drake woman purred.
Shall we start, Charles?
I stared into her mesmerizing yellow eyes, scanned her delicate features and slightly pointed nose. Although all of their features were similar, this Drake woman in particular reminded me of an old painting I'd seen in a book. It was from a fairy tale about a warrior princess who fought off hundreds of enormous enemies with her single blade. Althea, I uttered, and she tilted her head with a slight smile. Althea. Do you like that? Althea. It's a powerful name.
I like it, too!
Valerie sang.
I think it's perfect for someone in the Drake Legion.
I do.
The main Drake nodded.
Althea. I will accept it. It's beautiful, but also strong.
I swiveled my eyes and glanced over the remaining six monster women as Althea stepped out of the way and sat down on top of my examination table.
Hi.
Another black-haired beauty stepped forward and waved to me happily.
Is it my turn?
I did the very same thing and glanced over her features as I racked my brain for any name that came to mind. You certainly are bright and bubbly, I chuckled. Right, Alina?
Alina.
The shorter Drake woman giggled.
Alina? I like it.
Each Drake woman came forward and received a name from me personally, while one or two were named with help from the rest of my monster girls. In total, we had Althea, Elena, Veronica, Anya, Camila, Astrid, and Nadia. Each of them received powerful names with rich histories from different countries I'd read about, and after they'd received them, they rushed over and pressed passionate kisses to my lips. Once we'd finished naming them and introducing ourselves, I turned back to my women and rested my fists against my hips. They stared at me with wide, awestruck eyes, and instinctively they took a step closer.
Charles,
Ryan murmured.
What do we do now?
We prepare to leave, I grunted, and snatched up a wrench from one of the side tables. Edony, you told me you acquired something like a caravan?
Yes. They're waiting at the edge of the property since we've been in the laboratory all day.
Good, good, I nodded, bent beside my machine, and began unscrewing one of the bolts. It'd be best if you all started packing and loading your things into the caravan. I have to take this apart and rebuild it within one of them, but after that...
After that?
The imp woman echoed.
What happens, Charles?
We're leaving Edenheart. We'll set off, and the army will follow a little bit behind and move during the nighttime so they won't be caught.
We should either move on to Granum,
Edony commented,
or Boscan. Both of them are considered part of my duchy, but marchionesses annexed them, and I had to secede to them despite my unwillingness.
Which one is larger? I asked and cupped my chin thoughtfully.
Granum, Their aristocratic population is close to 1,000 or more. Berskon is much smaller, since it's a more remote mountain town, so Granum will be more of a challenge. I know for a fact that the Marchioness in control there is very close to the Queen. I was once friends with her to keep the peace between our cities after I had to succeed, but I later found out from one of my spies that she'd been asked to keep an eye on me by the Queen. The Scorn? Well, their Marchioness isn't as intelligent as the one from Granum. I'm sure she'd be fairly easy to take down if we sneak through and find her weak spots. So, which city are you planning to take on first?
Berskon first, I grunted. If they have a much smaller population and their Marchioness is weaker, I think we'll succeed in our mission. I would say we should move on to Granum, but since this is our first operation with our brand new army of soldiers and monster girls, I think we should start small before we bite off more than we can chew. I want all of you to burn this moment into your memories. Do you understand? Before long, I will be the controller of two different cities with even more soldiers and monster women under my control. Our heading is Berskon. Our final destination is the capital, and we will reach it in time to slaughter the Queen. No one can stop us, my loves, and no one can stand in our way. We are the new order, and everyone in this country will soon learn it.